In the new movie Autofocus, actor Bob Crane, played by Greg Kinnear, has to be coaxed by his agent into taking the lead role in a new television comedy that he thinks could be tasteless. The show's called Hogan's Heroes.
I can be Jack Lemmon.
You are Jack Lemmon, and you're Jack Benny.
Then get me a role.
That's what this is! You're Lemmon and Benny combined. They want you for the lead. Just promise me you'll keep an open mind. You ready? Set in a German prison camp.
It's a drama.
No, that's it. It's a comedy.
Oh, with the funny Nazis.
It's Ron Liebman as Mr. Crane's agent. For a few brief years of celebrity, Bob Crane was a smiling face along the middle road of America. He was a disc jockey who was offended by rock and roll. He didn't drink. He didn't smoke. He thought making jokes about the President of the United States, even during the war in Vietnam and the Watergate years, was unpatriotic. But Bob Crane did take pictures, lots of them, of himself and women having sex. Bob Crane was murdered in 1978. He was beaten to death with a camera tripod in a motel room in Scottsdale, Arizona. Officials have long surmised that his addiction to sex, deceit, and videotape figured into his death. Paul Schrader directed Autofocus, a movie that he said shows the corrupting influence of celebrity. Bob Crane Jr. was a consultant on Autofocus, and he joins us from our studios in Los Angeles. Thanks very much for being with us.
Great to be here, Scott.
Even though you were an advisor on the film, was this a painful story to see?
Absolutely. You know, it started 24 years ago. The pinnacle of pain for me was going to the Scottsdale Police Department morgue and seeing my dad laid out on a slab. So that was the beginning. And then as time has gone on, there's been, you know, books about him and E! True Hollywood Stories and biographies and all this stuff, X-rated websites and all sorts of other stuff out there. So when it got to the movie, the real painful things I stayed away from, I have to be honest.
Okay. Can I get you to tell us what you stayed away from?
I stayed away from the, there's a murder scene at the end. And when I say I stayed away from, I mean I stayed away from the filming of it. Yeah. Certain sex scenes.
Mm. I referred to your father as someone who was addicted to sex in the introduction. Do you think in your heart of hearts that's correct?
The word addiction is always such a strong word because immediately I think of alcohol and drugs. Mm-hmm. I was aware that my dad always loved women. Mm-hmm. He would never say a bad thing about a woman. He enjoyed them. He loved to have fun and good times. And he also never hurt women, as far as I know, you know, physically speaking. Mm-hmm. I never saw the tapes involving him. But I was aware that he was getting into new areas with his buddy John Carpenter.
John Carpenter, we should explain, was, I guess, at least in the film, a guy who worked, I'm not sure he worked for Sony, but he was an audio whiz who would kind of get the latest equipment and make it available to Hollywood stars like your father.
Yes. In fact, he did start off working at Sony. It was called SonyCom, mm-hmm. Way back when they had those monstrous cameras that looked like they were, you know, from the Ukraine or something. I don't know.
We want to play a clip from the motion picture in which Greg Kinnear, playing your father, Bob Crane, says, look, what's so unusual about my interest in sex, or for that matter, photographing myself and others having sex? That's just the way I am, and so are a lot of ordinary people.
I'm a normal red-blooded American man. I like to look at naked women. I love breasts. Any kind. I love them. Boobs, bazooms, balloons, bags, bazongas, the bigger the better. Nipples like udders, nipples like saucers, big pale rosy brown nipples, little bitty baby nipples. Real or fake, what's the difference? I like tits. Who's kidding who? Tits are great.
Is that the dad you knew?
Yeah. Yeah, I have to say. I mean, we, besides being father and son, we were friends as well, and we're able to talk about a lot of things. And, you know, to some people that may be strange, to other people they may be jealous, and it might be the ultimate father and son relationship. I don't know, but absolutely, he loved breasts, and the bigger the better.
Just on the basis of what I saw in the film, was your father as interested in sex as he was in photographing sex?
I think, and I told Paul Schrader this, I think he was more interested in photographing it than actually doing it. I think he would have made a great camera person and a great editor. I really do.
We want to play another clip from the movie, a scene where Bob Crane, played by Greg Kinnear, and his friend John Carpenter, played by William Dafoe, kind of encourage one another to imagine what it would be like if they could make a major, well-funded sex feature film.
We should just do it.
What?
Just make a big-budget sex film, you know? Get some big star like Stella Stevens.
She'd never do it.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, Carp. Oh, yeah, if you pay her enough. She's an actress.
Wow. You could charge like $10 for something like that.
Boy. I assume you don't know if your father ever thought about that.
I don't know. I can tell you this, though, Scott. Mm-hmm. I went to the world premiere of Deep Throat with my father. Mm-hmm. And I think if the previous scene that you played is true, it might have sprung from the Deep Throat phenomenon, you know, trying to cash in on that. But my dad and John Carpenter never pulled that one off, for lack of a better phrase.
Mm. Come to think of it, I must confess, when I was 21, my stepfather took me to dinner at the Playboy Club in Chicago.
Yeah,
It's not the same as Deep Throat, but no? For a Midwestern guy, that was as close as you got.
Oh, absolutely. Seeing the bunnies, you know, the waitresses. And
I still remember the name, Bunny Wanda. I'm sorry about that, but there you go. And you know what's there now? A Banana Republic is there on the side of the old Playboy Club. It's terribly disappointing. At several points in the film, Paul Schrader seems to suggest that your father genuinely thought, what's the big stuff about what other people call pornography. Mm-hmm. I mean, aren't we all that way?
Yes. My father was that naive and that probably self-focused, and he almost had horse blinders on to the outside world, which resulted in two failed marriages.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it hurt his career, his development as an actor?
I think, I think a combination of being obsessed with sex hurt him, and being Hogan mm-hmm. helped him and hurt him. It's so weird. There's so many dichotomies. Being Hogan put him in the situation of being around women. Mm-hmm. Being Hogan didn't permit him to move on to other, you know, better roles or a movie career. Maybe the sex as well filled in for the lack of a career at that time.
Let's play another scene, if we could, in which Greg Kinnear, playing your father, tells John Carpenter that for a variety of reasons, he just has to opt out of their relationship of mutual debauchery.
I want to restart my career. Well, what about my equipment?
Good news. You can keep it. I want some, I'll buy my own.
You're going to buy Betacam, right? Yeah, nobody needs John Carpenter anymore. You just walk into a store and buy Betacam. Tommy Smothers bought Betacam, Dick Martin, and now you. What am I, like, a drag on your career? Who's always been there for you? When you were moping, complaining, John, nobody wants to hire me. Flying around the country whenever you call, taking seconds, I'm a drag. Well, Bob Crane's a loser. I ain't a loser! Bob Crane ain't a loser. It's you who brought Bob Crane down. Bob Crane is a good guy. Bob, let's not do this.
That's got to be a painful scene for you.
Yeah, it was tough.
The movie, I think, strongly suggests that John Carpenter was responsible for your father's death. And, mm-hmm. and we should explain he was acquitted of murder charges in 1994. Do you have any strong feelings about that?
Well, I think the first of all, we needed CSI to help us, but they weren't around at the time. It happened in Scottsdale, Arizona in 1978. At that time, it was kind of a sleepy town. They were ill-prepared. They mismanaged evidence, misplaced it, lost it. It was a bad scene. But I always thought there's a nice short list of about six people that I think that should have been investigated.
Why would someone want to kill your father?
Well, to me, it's always been a crime of passion. I think it's somebody who was close to him. He was found in bed in a sleeping position, so he felt comfortable enough to go to bed and leave this person there. Yeah. There was no break-in. There was nothing stolen. There was no sign of struggle. Mm-hmm. So this cuts the list down considerably.
How do you feel about the fact that for many people this is going to be the image they have of your father?
Yeah, it's real frustrating to be left with that image. But I would suggest looking at all his stuff if you're really a fan of his, and not just going per autofocus, which is a Paul Schrader film. It's a Paul Schrader vision. Paul Schrader didn't know my dad. They never met. Mm-hmm. I know what he did for the most part. I knew him. You know, he did what he wanted to do. He did it his way. You couldn't tell him, you know, not to do that. So he ultimately was responsible for his own life and death, possibly.
Been good talking to you. Thank you very much.
Same here. Thanks.
Bob Crane Jr., who was a consultant on the new motion picture Autofocus, speaking from Los Angeles.
I always wanted to make an impression. You know the type. There's one in every class. The cut-up. Eddie Cantor once told me likability is 90% of the battle, and he was right. Well, that's me. I'm a likable guy.